chapter 2 together. Luke chapter 2. I love Christmas. I enjoy it. I better. I'm married to Miss Christmas. She was sick. Y'all know that. She was sick for about 3 weeks. This kidney stone and all this other stuff going on and everything. So I figure that after Christmas Day, I got 3 more weeks of lights and all that. I'm just wondering if I get 3 more weeks of presents. That's what I'm after. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. I'm not real hopeful. I believe the lights and tree will still be up 3 weeks from now. I probably just won't get all the presents I want and all that. But that's okay. All right. But anyway, I love Christmas. Christmas reminds us that Jesus has come. But it also reminds us that He is coming again. It does. You realize that real live people were on the earth when He came the first time. Real live people. We've been looking at them in the Scriptures. God had prepared a welcoming committee for His Son. Witnesses of His birth. I believe that real live people will be on the earth when He comes the second time. Maybe us. I want to be a part of that welcoming committee. What about you? That welcoming committee in that at His first coming, we've entitled that the cast of Christmas. We've been looking at those men and women that God selected to be a part of that welcoming committee, a part of the witnesses of His birth when He came into this world. We looked at Joseph and Mary. We learn from them that God takes ordinary, run-of-the-mill people just like you and me and gives meaning and purpose to their lives. Our lives today as God's people are not without purpose. Isn't that a blessing? God gives us meaning. Matter of fact, we begin to learn why we were created, why we were saved. We were created by Him and for Him. We were saved by Him and for Him, that henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, and Him that died for us and rose again. What meaning? I get to live for Him. Shepherds. We looked at the shepherds. I'm ringing up here, brother, just so you know that. These guys do such a wonderful job. And shepherds, no one, here's what they teach us. No one is insignificant with God. Amen. Everybody is valuable to Him. You're valuable. You don't have to make yourself, matter of fact, you can't make yourself valuable to God. God, you're valuable to God because He created you and made you and sent His Son for you. He loves you. And He loves us where we are. Aren't you glad He doesn't leave us there? He takes us where He wants us to be. Amen. And then we learned last week from the wise men. We looked at that cast, at that group, those witnesses of His birth, that welcoming committee that came probably a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years after the Lord was born and there in the manger in Bethlehem. And they moved into a house and they come, they present Him with gifts. And here's what we learned from those men that traveled so many miles from a distant land to worship the newborn King. We learned that no one sets out in search of Jesus that does not find Him. We found that out. We learned that. You search for Him, you'll find Him. This morning we're going to meet a man. We are. He's an old man, a very old man. So some believe he's over 100 years of age. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but that's what that tradition tells us. He's over 100 years of age. He lived his whole life waiting for the coming of Christ. He had one purpose in his life, and that was to see the Christ child, to see the Lord's Messiah, Israel's Messiah. He's a man by the name of Simeon. We're going to learn about Simeon, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We're going to see that when we read our text here in just a moment. And Simeon, that word, he waited for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means hope. And he's waited for the hope of Israel, not just Israel, but the whole world. I believe if you were to ask Simeon, he would say it was a hope that was worth waiting for. I believe we'd say that. Do you know that you and I, they tell us that we'll spend an average of 6 years of our life waiting at a stoplight? Can you imagine that? We'll spend 5 years waiting in line. If you go to Walmart right now, it's 10. It's 10. I don't know about all that, but I can tell you this. When you wait on the Lord, you never waste any time. Amen. And Simeon's waited his whole life for one event. One event. He teaches us that with Jesus, there is always hope. There's always hope. I don't ever have to become hopeless because with Him, there is always hope. Simeon waited on the Messiah. He waited on the one who would bring hope to the hopeless. Let's look. Look at verse 25, Luke chapter 2. And behold, I like that. Stop, look, listen, pay attention. There was a man in Jerusalem, part of the welcoming committee, part of that cast of Christmas, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, the hope of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I tell you what, it's a pretty good way to live right there, isn't it? And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, this is Mary and Joseph, the man and the woman that God has selected to raise his son, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he's 8 days old at this point, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I've seen what you want me to see. I'm ready to go. Did you see that? For mine eyes, look at verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set, he's appointed for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What a passage of Scripture. This morning I want you to meet a man, part of the cast of Christmas, by the name of Simeon. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a wonderful service already this morning. Lord, you've given us so much already just in the reading of the Scripture that's blessed us and challenged us and, Lord, can change us. I pray, Father, that you would bless your Word today. Let it accomplish that you send it out to do in the hearts and lives of people that are present, those watching, those that will be listening, those that will watch later down the road that will be reached through this message. I pray, Father, that your name would be glorified today. I pray that Christ, your Son, would be lifted up. I believe that's what Simeon would want, as he's with you now in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn lessons today that would be life-changing. Lord, if there's someone here today that they've never seen Jesus in His true light, they've never realized it was for Him, for them, that He came, that today would be that day and they would receive Him as Savior. And Lord, that You would bring us closer to Yourself, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, 8 days after the Lord had been born, Joseph and Mary, they take the newborn child to the temple to offer the sacrifices as prescribed in the law of Moses. They're going to name him. They'll call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. Upon entering the temple precincts, Joseph and Mary are met by an aged man. He's an old man. That took him. I mean, can you imagine? You're a young mother, you got a baby in your arms, and you walk into a temple, and here's a strange man comes almost as best he can in his aged state, running up to you and rips a baby out of your arms. I mean, he reaches out and takes him and begins to lift him up. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm telling you what, you'd probably go berserk. That's exactly what happens. He reaches out and he takes from her arms the child, and then he makes some startling statements about her son. That this man by the name of Simeon that waited his whole life for this one day, his whole life. Little did he know when he woke up that morning that would be the day. But as the day wore on, the Holy Spirit moved him and prompted him to go to the temple. And when, listen, it wasn't coincidence. Can I tell you, there are no coincidences in the lives of the children of God. Wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't that they just happened to meet. No, God had already divinely arranged this moment in eternity past that comes to fruition in his life. And in that moment, Simeon sees the Lord. The one he's been waiting on his whole life. You know what? There's coming a day when I'm going to see the Lord. There's a day. By the way, can I just say this? There's coming a day everybody's going to see the Lord. It's just how you meet him that's going to count. Let's learn some things about Simeon this morning. Number one, I want you to notice with me, if you would, his walk with the Lord. Let's learn something about his walk with the Lord. There's some truths we can learn here. Simeon means hearing, or one who hears. Do you realize that this Christmas, there's going to be a whole lot of people that they're going to watch Christmas shows and they're going to movies, whether it's Hallmark or another station. They're going to hear Christmas music. They're going to tune in and amidst all the secular music, there's going to be a Christmas carol thrown in there. And they're going to hear something about Jesus. Did you know that? They're going to hear it, but the majority will never really hear it. Isn't that something? Could you imagine living your whole life hearing, but you never really hear? Hear with your ears, but never hear with the heart? Simeon was a man. He didn't just hear with his ears. He heard the Lord with his heart. You know, many times the Bible says, "He that hath ears to hear." Those who desire to hear, let him hear. God wants you to give you His truth. God wants you to hear His Word. God wants you to hear His voice. But you cannot hear His voice if you don't desire to hear His voice. He desired to hear it. He was tuned in. He was a man who was tuned into God. Far too many of God's children, we're in tune to this world, but we're out of tune to the world to come. If we're not careful, we'll get our antennas out of tune. Of course, you know, there's a whole generation sitting here, you don't know what an antenna is. You don't even need one today. I remember my granddaddy, and I know I digress, but I came from a generation, I was my dad's remote control. Change that channel, son, cut that up, cut that down. Turn the rotor. How many knows what a rotor is? You know, an antenna turns on top. That's novel today. But I tell you, I can go back further than that. My granddaddy's antenna stood up above the house, and it was a long piece of galvanized pipe, about 20 foot long. And he would say, they would push the window up, and his sons would go out, my uncles would go outside, and they would time seeing people doing like this right now. You remember with me? And I just a little boy. And he'd say, "No, stop, stop, back it up, back it up." And they're turning it with their hand. Isn't that amazing? Boy, how times have changed. I'm just saying we ought to be tuned in. God speaks to us. Sometimes our ears are so crowded with the noise of the world that we miss His voice. That's why the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's just some times we need to get still before the Lord, and we can get in tune with Him. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says that whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. He was a man of character. He was just. He was right with God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you right with God? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know heaven is your home? Do you know that you're saved? Christian, if you are saved, are you right with God? Are you walking with Him? Is there anything between you and the Savior this morning? What a question. Here was a man that was right. He was just. He was right to God. Right with God. And he lived his life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. It didn't save him. He lived right because he was right. And listen, you know what? He wasn't the one thing in the temple and in the community. He sort of stood out because his walk and his talk, they went together. You know, there's some people, they can talk a good line, but their life sure doesn't back it up very much. Isn't that true? I believe that it went together here. He was a man who lived by the Word of God, and he trusted the promises of God. Can I tell you, the Bible is more than a book that we decorate our tables with, or that we carry to church. It is a book that will guide us to the Lord. It will teach us. It will guide us and direct us. Friend, listen, I'm going to tell you, I've got something better than a star that guided the wise men. I've got 66 precious, inspired books that's been given to me. And every one of them point me to Jesus. They do. But not only was he just, he was devout. He was a man of character. He was a man of consecration. Look what the Bible says. He was just and devout. That word has to do with his devotion. It's a real interesting word. It means to be careful. Oh, we get so careless with our lives, don't we? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is." We can walk foolishly. We can walk carelessly in this world. And we can lose sight of the things that are important. But not Simeon. He was careful about his walk with God. He paid attention to it. He wanted to live in a way of devotion and dedication and consecration to the God of heaven. Christian, can I tell you, in this day, in this time in which we live, we must guard against carelessness in our spiritual lives. We need to walk carefully or circumspectly, wisely, as we follow the Lord. He had a walk with God. Let me ask you a question. Do you walk with God? The best thing that could ever be said by my children is, "Dad walked with God." Can I tell you, more important than being a preacher is walking with God. It is. It is. I'm a Christian first. And you can't separate the man and the message. Oh, how preachers get careless with their words, how they live, what they say. How important it is that we walk carefully. But then not only do I see something about his walk with the Lord, secondly, I want you to see his waiting for the Lord. Look again, verse number 25. The Bible said, latter part of it, waiting for the consolation, the hope of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He is a man filled with the Spirit of God. That word waiting means to welcome. I told you he's on the welcoming committee. The consolation of Israel, the hope of Israel, that was bound up in the coming of the Messiah. Do you realize that there was one Bible teacher that spoke of these people as the quiet people in the land? That 400 years that separates the Malachi from Matthew, the Old Testament from the New Testament, the last word from God until God's final word that God spoke to us by His Son. There were quiet people. Oh, there was plenty of people in the land that were famous and powerful and rich and they made a lot of noise, but there were some quiet people in the land that nobody knew their name and nobody knew who they were. But these were the ones who were quietly waiting for the consolation. They were waiting on God's promises to the people of God. Can I tell you what? Listen, my name may never get in marquee lights. Not a lot of people might know who we are. But I can tell you this. There's one in heaven that knows our name. And we ought to, in this day of evil and commotion and noise, there ought to be a group of people that's quietly waiting for the coming of the Savior. Simeon, verse number 26, was given a problem. The Holy Ghost was upon him. He's a man filled with the Spirit of God. We ought to walk in the Spirit. We wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But verse 26, he's given a promise. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. He should not see death. He wasn't going to die physically before he had seen with his eyes the Lord's Christ. Not the eye of faith, but with his physical eye. It was a special revelation. It's a promise that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Lord, the Messiah. Matthew Poole in his commentary says that God, by the Holy Ghost, gave him this special revelation as the reward of his faith and the answer of his prayers that he should live to see Christ born. Isn't that amazing? He didn't just know that the Messiah would come as promised by God. He knew he had lived to see. I don't know, but could we be that generation that'll see him? There's going to be a generation. Could it be ours? Wow. He could come at any moment. They didn't know when he was coming. The Lord said, "You're not going to die, do you see?" He didn't know when it was going to be, but he knew it would be. And he lived every day of his life in the expectation he would see the Messiah. I wonder if he got up in the morning and thought, you know, maybe this will be the day. Maybe this will be the day. But didn't know. And then the Holy Spirit said, "Today's the day. Today's the day." Begin to move him. Move him. Simeon was looking for the Lord in his day. You know what you and I ought to be? We ought to be. Listen, this Christmas, listen, let's not just spend all our time talking about that the Lord has come. Let's spend some time thinking about that the Lord is coming. Amen. That He has come is so important. But friend, can I tell you, even more so is that He is coming. All that we ought to be looking for His appearing. Let me give you some verses. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." You remember, when we wait, we don't waste time. Today some of you is going to go to a restaurant and there's going to be a waiter or a waitress. that's going to come to your table. They're going to greet you. They're going to want to know what you want to drink that day. They're going to ask you what you want to eat. They're going to make sure your sweet tea's filled up. They're going to bring your food to you. And all of these things, we call them waiters and waitresses. They're anything but idle. They're hustling and bustling from table to table to table to table, meeting this need and that need and the other need. You see, waiting doesn't mean sitting. It doesn't mean idling. No, when we wait for Him, that means we're actively serving Him and loving Him and knowing Him and walking with Him and serving Him. Friend, can I tell you, when we're waiting, we ought to be busy about His business. Wouldn't you agree with that? But in my heart, knowing, Lord, this could be the day that I could be with You. Well, to live each day of our lives, the anticipation with what, like Simeon did, that this could be the day. As he was watching and waiting for his first coming, we ought to be watching and waiting for his second coming. So many times, so many Christians, we get too involved in this world, and we're looking to people, and we're looking to things, and we're looking to accomplishments, and we're looking for pleasure. It could just be fun, and there's nothing wrong with stuff and fun, and all. We live in the world. God said we use it. We're just not to abuse it. But can I tell you, it'll never really make us happy. It'll never fulfill us. Too many Christians are empty and unfulfilled and disillusioned because they're waiting on the wrong things. We think that somehow I'm waiting on hitting the jackpot. I'm waiting on my business. I'm waiting on this, that. I'm waiting till I get 16. I'm waiting till I can get married. I'm waiting. But listen, can I tell you, ultimately in all of it, we ought to be walking with the Lord and waiting for the Lord. Jesus is a treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Know Him, to live for Him, and find satisfaction and fulfill Him. Don't just make Jesus the centerpiece of your Christmas. Make Him the centerpiece of your life. Don't just make Him the centerpiece of your Christmas. Make Him the centerpiece of your life. Amen. We learned something about His walk with the Lord. We've learned something about His waiting for the Lord. Let's thirdly look at His worship of the Lord. Look down at verse 27. And He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for Him after the custom of the law, then took He Him up in His arms and blessed God. Did you notice that when He took hold of the Lord, His first words were not to Joseph and Mary? His first words were to God, was to the Lord. He blessed God. He did. You know, we think about that word bless. We do. Well, I'm just going to bless her out. Sometimes we use that word, I'm going to bless him out. Sometimes we use that word bless thinking that we're going to give them peace of our mind. Can I help you? You may not be able to afford to. Okay? Might not have much left over. So you might want to guard against that. But this word bless in the Bible means to speak well of. When was the last time you blessed God? We'll say to somebody, you know our southern words, well, bless your heart. Oh, that can be taken so many ways. Isn't that true? Sometimes there's real sympathy there, bless their heart. Sometimes there's cynicism there, well, bless their heart. You know, just sort of go. Sometimes you don't know what it is, but anyway. But to bless God. Immediately he began to bless God. Do you realize that you can delight the heart of God? You can. God inhabits the praises of His people. You want God to be close to you? Praise Him. You want God to be real to you? Bless Him. You want God's presence in your life? Speak well of Him. Isn't that amazing? God dwells, He inhabits the praises of His people. And so as He walks into the temple court, I believe the Holy Spirit said, there He is. I believe His heart skipped. I believe it leaped for joy like John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. And the Bible said He took Him up in His arms and He blessed God. He began to offer thanks and praise to God. And He holds Him. I can only imagine the thoughts going through His mind. I'm holding the Messiah. I'm holding my King. I'm holding my Redeemer. Look at that. Can you imagine that? He lifts his eyes toward heaven and begins to worship and give praise to God. Can I tell you, this Christmas, we need to offer thanks to God afresh and new for His unspeakable gift, don't we? One of the things that many of us do, I don't know what your tradition is in our home, we'll read some portion of the Christmas story before we open gifts. We want to put our mind on Him, and it's just something that we do, and we've done it ever since our children were born. We would do this, just sort of built into what we do. And you know, I don't want it to just be a tradition. I don't want it just to be, okay, let's get this over with so we can get to this. I don't want it to be that way. I want to understand that this is what it's really all about. And it's not just about knowing that He came, it's about knowing Him. Amen. Amen. He didn't just come so you could know He came. He didn't just come so we could have Christmas. He didn't just come so we could decorate. He didn't just come so we could give gifts to each other. Isn't it amazing that we'll give gifts to other people, we'll get gifts from other people, but yet we won't receive His gift. And I want my children, I wanted them to understand that we could give you all the gifts in the world, but if you miss His gift, you've missed it all.
That's right.
You've missed it all. Because that gift is forgiveness of sins. That gift is eternity with God in heaven. That gift is what keeps you out of hell. Notice, it was personal. Look what He says in verse 29. He said, Lord... He begins to pray. He praised and now he's praised. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. God, I'm ready to go. It's sort of like that fellow I told you about in Psalm 23 where he said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil for thou art with me. And that one aged saint was saying, Lord, I'm coming just as fast as I can. I believe after that he said, Lord, I'm coming just as fast as I can. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen Him. I'm ready to go home. Thy salvation. He was looking, listen, at the one that God had sent as a deliverer of mankind. Simeon's heart overflowed with joy and praise as he held his own. Can you imagine? Hold it. Listen, I'm glad he holds me in his arms. What about you? Simeon got to hold him in his arms. But it wasn't just for Simeon, it was for everybody. Look at verse 31. He said, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, not just some, but all. All. My heart so breaks for those that believe Jesus just came for them and nobody else. Isn't that such an arrogant way to live?
Yes, sir.
By the way, some independent Baptists live that way too.
That's right.
Think we're the only ones going to be in heaven. Let me tell you who's going to be in heaven. Those that receive Jesus Christ as Savior, that's who's going to be in heaven. That's who's going to be there. Simeon realized the babe wasn't just his Savior. He wasn't just Israel's Savior. He was the world's Savior. Look what he says, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles. I'm glad he didn't just come for Jews. I'm glad he come for us too. God's always been a God who loved the world. He's always had a global vision. He has. It was giving His Son for a whosoever will let Him come salvation. The Prince of Wales was visiting India during the days that Britain ruled India. There were a number of high castes. Remember, India has a caste system. You have your elite all the way down to the majority of the people in India are in that low caste system. They're really outcast. They're really looked down upon. And he was there, and there were a number of high caste people, the elites there, waiting to shake hands with him. And there was a big barrier separating them from the masses of the rest of the people. And the prince arrived, and he shook hands with those that were presented to him. And then he looked over their heads, and there were the crowds that were longing and looking and oohing and aahing and saw the barriers, and he said, take those barriers down. Take those down. And people were aghast. Nobody's ever done that before. He said, take those down, and anybody that wants to come, let him come. And that day he shook hand after hand after hand, that anyone would like to would have free access and welcome for the son of the Emperor of India. And the next time the prince came, it's interesting, 10,000 outcasts were gathered under a great big banner inscribed when Prince of Wales came, the Prince of the Outcasts. I don't know about you, but I'm glad 2,000 years ago God tore the barriers down. Can I tell you, He's not just for the elite. He's not just for this group or that group. Friend, can I tell you, He came for everybody. I'm glad that He gives hope to the hopeless. He's the Savior of outcasts. Isn't that a blessing? I so love that. Simeon told us about Him as he worshipped Him. Let me close with this. I want you to see his words about the Lord. Look at verse number 33. And Joseph and his mother marvel. They're wondering at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them. So first he blessed God, and now he blesses Joseph and Mary. And said unto Mary his mother, behold, I want you to listen to me. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You know what? The big and the famous and the elite's going to fall. And the ordinary will rise. Because the ground's level at the foot of the cross. Everybody comes to Jesus the same way. Isn't that exciting? And for a son which shall be spoken against. We've been learning about Jonah. Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. Jesus was a sign of God's Word to that generation. Just as Jonah had a message from God for the Ninevites, Jesus had a message from God in His day. And thank the Lord, He has one for our day. Isn't that a blessing? And people speak against Him, don't they? Do you know while you praise Him, there'll be somebody cursing Him? While you bless Him, there'll be somebody blaspheming. I'd say there's more who blaspheme than bless. What about you? I want to be in the number that blesses. That's the number I want to be in. And so he talks about some words concerning her son. And then he talks about some words concerning her sorrow. Look at verse number 7. Yea, a word shall pierce through thine own, a sword, excuse me, shall pierce through thine own soul also. Not only is he going to be wounded, not only is he going to be blasphemed and spoken against, but as they speak against him, a sword's going to go through you. I wonder how many times that Mary felt that sword pierce her heart. Maybe it was when she was pregnant. When she was a virgin. God created a womb, within her womb, a human body and a human nature by which Jesus would become man without ever ceasing to be God. Amen. People thinking she was unfaithful. I wonder the whispers behind her back. I wonder those that just outright said things to her, and a sword would go through her heart. She knew what the angel said. She didn't understand it all. She knew what God wanted with her life, but nobody else did. Can I tell you, young person, listen to me, that when you determine to live for God with your life, there's going to be some times that people will say some things and do some things that will pierce your heart, but Mary stayed faithful and you need to stay faithful. I thought about the times that people would blaspheme His name or that they would seek to kill Him and the sword would pierce her heart. But it was Mary standing at the cross. Could you imagine what it must have been like to stand there and hear the insults hurled at your son? To watch him there hanging on a cross, beaten beyond recognition, crown of thorns that had been on his brow. The people walking by and reviling him and cursing him and mocking him. Sold for 30 pieces of silver. This is her son. You thought about that? I believe that the Lord sent her home before the worst part of the cross. He said, John, behold your mama. You know what I believe He was saying? Take care of my mama and take her home. Thankfully, she didn't see the spear that went into His side. But no doubt she heard all about it. She got the news that He had died, sword again and again piercing her heart. But you know where you see Mary? You see her in the last chapter she's spoken of in her life, sitting in that little group of 120 worshiping Jesus because her son was alive. Amen. Isn't that amazing? She's in that group when the Holy Ghost came for the very first time to indwell believers. She was in that group. How many times a sword pierced her heart? Isn't that amazing? She's faithful, wasn't she? Simeon told her what was going to happen. But can I tell you what's most important of all? It wasn't what happened to Mary, but it's what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
That's what's most important of all. It really is. The Simeon lifted up a little boy, a little baby, and said, right here he is. This is the hope. Can I tell you, I don't worship a baby in a manger. I just don't. I worship a Lord that's sitting on a throne as co-regent of the universe. Oh, he's got a spear wound in his side. He's got nail prints in his hand and his feet. He's got scars from a crown of thorns upon his head. He's got the wounds in his back. And every one of those plead for me. It's an eternal reminder that my sin debt was paid.
Amen.
That it was for me he came. It wasn't just Simeon.
Amen.
It was for me he died. Amen. It was for me he arose. And it was for you.
Amen.
No wonder Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
The gift of his Son and eternal life through him. And I'm just going to ask you, have you received God's gift? Let's bow our heads in prayer.